What is going on, guys? This is Gene Jensen, and it's time for another Friday Night Live. What is up? What's going on? How's everybody doing today? Oh, I've been reading a little bit of the comments for you guys were talking about going in and out. I just wanted to pop a little something up real quick. Give me just a second. Oh, 65 points. 5 points. All right, I'm done. It was a good game for the first quarter. But goodness. I thought it was going to be a lot closer than that. One thing that it impressed me most about the Georgia-TCU game was, and I know we're here to talk fishing, was that the TCU fans were very gracious. It would be the word. Just really good fans. The story of them getting there was amazing and everything else. And then I get on Facebook the last several days and read all of the Ohio State and Alabama fans doing nothing but complaining. Oh, if we were there, da 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 da. A W is a W is a W. So anyway, welcome everybody. Welcome everybody. I just had to gloat a little bit. Go Dogs. Two in a row is pretty cool, especially since we went 41 years without winning one. So, but yeah, definitely. Joey Lawrence, how you doing, man? Garrison Bright, what's up? What is up? What is up? It's good to see everybody. Dino, what's all going on, man? Oh, I'll be there tomorrow sometime. I've got some things I've got to do. I'm still packing for Florida, and I hope to leave Monday. So, some of the things I've got going on is I'm getting ready for the 10. I'm going to pull a graphic up just because I'm trying to learn how to use this thing all over again, and I really suck at it. But anyway, the KBF, the 10, the DZ the 10. And if you look right here, there's only 10 anglers who are entered into this tournament, and it's the top 10 in Angler of the Year points. I finished second in Angler of the Year points, and then Cody Milton blew us all away. So I'm heading down to Florida. That tournament is January 30th and February 1st. But before that, we have the 10 Invitational and the Trail Series tournaments that are going on the few days before that, which I'm going to be fishing those two down in Polk County, Florida. So I'm pretty excited about that. Been packing for 2 weeks, mainly just getting organized and then packing, getting tackle and everything ready. I built a box today to hold my, so I can transport my XI3 trolling motors without them banging around the back of the boat, back of the truck and that kind of stuff. So, man, my daughter made these muffins yesterday. Oh man, they're so good. I should not have eaten some before I came down here, but I did. So I'm going to be a little bit of problems with my digestion while I'm trying to talk. But anyway, what's up, everybody? So those tournaments are going to be really good down in Florida. I hope I can do really good at those. I love fishing down in Florida. I usually do fairly well. A few new lakes in the tournament this year, so I'm going to go down and check those out. And we have a new off-limits period, which I love. It hurts me a little because I used to go down 14 days ahead and I'd fish the whole time. But it evens things out and it makes things a lot more fair. So the off limits period ends on Saturday, not tomorrow, but next Saturday. And then they'll have a week to everybody have a week to pre-fish and then the tournament starts. So that gives those guys who can only get there on the weekends a chance to go see the lakes. So Jennifer Ellis, haven't heard from you in a while. How you doing? Oh, Jennifer says that I was the first person that she thought of when the dogs won. That's awesome. Trying to think of anything else that's going on. Oh, I mentioned last week, and a lot of you guys are new, about the Knuckleheads tournament that me and Chad Hoover and a few other YouTubers are putting on. I'm going to explain a little bit about it. We changed the dates, me and Chad did. We were going to do February, March, April, May. Instead, we're doing March, April, May, June. We just got to talking, and February just is too cold. Too volatile. I'm not even comfortable fishing the first half of February in my kayak. So kind of talked him into that, or we both talked each other into it basically. So March, April, May, June are the 4 months we're doing it. Now it's a $15 a person tournament, very low cost of entry. I'm trying to pull it up at the same time on Fishing Chaos so you guys can see it. But and it's a basically what it is, it's a monthly tournament, $15 a month, and you guys can fish wherever you want, bank or kayak, and then after that, the winners of each of those tournaments, so each month, the winner becomes part of my fishing team or Chad's fishing team or whichever tournament or tournaments that you enter, you become part of that team. Now, if you win more than one tournament, then you have to pick which team you're on. And then that team, those four people that plus me, we meet up down in Huntsville, Alabama in October, and we fish a tournament against the other teams for, I want to say Chad said, the total payout is guaranteed at $10,000 and it may be more. We're going to, the money, you know, at the end of each month, the winner doesn't win any money. He'll win prizes. The money is going to go into a fund so I can use it to buy bigger prizes, buy kayaks, buy other things for those tournaments. And also to get those people that won the tournaments down to Huntsville. So that's kind of how we're going to fund it, because money's real tight this year. We understand that. But the winner's going to win some great stuff. I've talked to Chad about kayaks, and I'm going to talk to Bonafide about kayaks. My hope is to get four kayaks, one for each winner. And then fishing rods and reels for everybody else. But I haven't had a chance to talk 13 yet, so don't quote me on that one. But anyway, you guys are going to get some really cool stuff anyway. So, and you can't beat $15 a month. But yeah, it's called the Knucklehead Series. Now, the way you spell it is K-N-U-K-L-H-E-D. Chad's spelling. Just Hoover's spelling. Just don't let it bother you. There's always a reason for something with him. And if not, he can make it up. But it's called the Knucklehead Bass Fishing Series, and you find it in Fishing Chaos, on the Fishing Chaos app. And of course, that's how you enter it and stuff like that. And in the next few weeks, matter of fact, when I get down to Florida, I'm going to make a bunch of instructional videos on how to fish your first tournament on the Knucklehead one, and on how to use Fishing Chaos and that kind of stuff. So you'll see those coming out before I come out with any other videos. All right. Let's get into the comments. That's pretty much all I have for that. Oh, and let me show you the logo so you guys understand what I'm talking about with Knucklehead. That's what you're looking for. So K-N-U with the underline, K-L-H-E-D. And like I said, it's only $15 and you get to pick which team, or you can enter each tournament. That's fine too. So that's that. Man. And again, I apologize to everybody that wasn't on last week. It's been a year since I've done, Friday Night Live, and I'll tell you why. YouTube was treating these videos, as soon as I was finished and I ended the live stream, it would go in as a regular video on my channel. And because people would click on my newest video, which was alive, and they'd see that it was alive, and they were like, I'm not interested. They're gone. Well, it killed my watch time, killed my algorithms, and didn't kill my channel, but it almost did. And so I stopped doing those altogether. Matter of fact, there's Hoover himself. Stopped doing those altogether and waited for YouTube to fix it. And they fixed it. And you'll notice that when this is over, the live videos go into a section called live, and they're not treated like regular videos. Thank you. So that's the reason why a lot of us quit, because it was really was hurting our channels. So. Back up and running. I'm going to try to do them while I'm down in Florida. I should be close enough to the city to be able to get a decent signal. If I don't, we'll figure something out anyway. So don't count on me being on next Friday, but you'll know when I announce it. So, Chad, look, okay. Chad's jumping on here and already starting to talk trash about the Knuckleheads. Now we all know that he's really good at catching dinks. Every time I film with him, I'm the one that catches the giants, and he gets to play around with his little Ned rig and fish and, you know, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, he says, I appreciate you agreeing to lose to Team Chad for the Knucklehead Bass Fishing Series. Nah, just go ahead and join my team, dude. I mean, just go look at the YouTubers that we're fishing against. I mean, come on. Really? Really? I mean, I can. Nah. Mm-mm. Anyway, goodness, it's good to see everybody. Yeah, Chad is the one that invented the hashtag dink drop. Just remember that. goodness. All right, I'm trying to read all these comments that are popping up. Cephas, welcome, man. Welcome. Ray Frazier, what's going on, man? What is going on? Eric Jerding, I think it's what it is. Welcome. Welcome, Steven. What's going on, brother? Well, I thought I was going to be fishing the monthly tournament from the bank, but just added a bona fide RS-117. That's awesome, man. Hey, I get to put my hands on the new bona fide River 119 or RVR 119, but I'm calling it, and Chad's calling it the river because it's a river kayak, but it's going to be at the, what's the guy's name? The Jimbo's outdoor show near Lake Lanier tomorrow. It's a 1-day show. I'm going to be up there working the Westbrook supply booth. So it should be a whole lot of fun, and I get to put my hands on it and play around with it and sit in it and so on and so forth. So I just saw Joni up there. Hey, Joni, how's it going, man? Oh, man, I have not been to Chickamauga in about 2.5, maybe 3 years. I do need to get up there. It will be soon. It'll be soon. As soon as things start to warm up, we'll have to go in your boat since I'm getting ready to sell mine. But yeah, dude, I'm definitely going to get up there. But let me see. Addicted to Bass 2. Welcome. Welcome. Jack Taylor, what's going on, man? I've been doing pretty good. You guys know I go in and out. I suffer. I get down to the dumps quite a bit. And so that was a little bit of what was going on, but mainly it was just YouTube. But, you know, I'm done with tournaments. I'm going to fish this one. This one's going to be my only tournament of the year. And then I'm going to go to videos full time. My goal is 80 to 100 videos this year. And then I'm also going to help Chad with KBF and with the knucklehead stuff. And we're just going to do fun stuff for our subscribers from here on out. I want to do this kind of stuff, the knucklehead stuff, and provide more opportunity for you guys to enjoy fishing and things like that. And then to have get-togethers. You know, even if you don't qualify for this tournament, if you live close, we're going to have a big party and barbecue there too. So, you know, it'd be a whole lot of fun. So anyway, Lisa Manson, welcome. Welcome. She says, thanks to you, to Gene and Chad, I've learned a whole lot. Thank you. Doug King, man, how you doing, man? Ralph Boyd, or should I call you Massarn Boyd? Ralph just got promoted to Master Sergeant. What was it? First of the year, wasn't it? But yeah, Ralph, I have not talked Chad into boats yet. I'm working on it. I haven't talked him into it yet, but we'll see. It maybe not this time, maybe the next time around. So what show is that again? Look up Jimbo's, Chad, let me look it up real quick. Cause I searched it. Jimbo's Expo on Lake Lanier. Look that up. It's not on Lake Lanier. It's at the Lake Lanier Expo Center, convention center, but it's 1 day. It's tomorrow. And I'm going to head there first thing in the morning. So Michael Moon, what's going on, brother? Ray says, haven't fished in a good bit. Been dove hunting the whole season. We need another dove video. Man, we went and it was horrible. It was so bad opening day because our dove field has been bad the last 2 years. We didn't go on it last year. We went on a youth hunt. That was awesome. But we went there this year and it was so bad that Jordan was like, Dad, can you find tickets to the Georgia game? And Georgia was playing some, you know, cupcake game. And I jumped on there and I found tickets for like $40 a pop. And I bought three and we took off and went to the Georgia game last minute. So, but yeah, it was not good. We didn't get a good migration this year, but yeah, let's see. Let's go ahead and open up to some fishing questions. I know it's winter time. We can talk about anything. I've been doing tackle prep and tackle cleaning and changing hooks out, which I'll talk about here in just a second. Cephas says, Gene, you can catch some great fish from the yak on Ivy in March and April. Good footage for your viewers. That'd be awesome. That'd be really awesome. I do want to talk about changing hooks because I saw a comment on one of my videos just a few minutes ago. And the guy said, why do people always change the hooks out when the lures are brand new? I think it's become more of a tradition. We've heard that so many times. Hooks on most crankbaits now are pretty darn good. They're usually VMC hooks or some type of, you know, decent hook. Even the infamous lipless crankbait. So the rattle trap used to have the worst hooks there ever was. Well, they don't do that anymore. They put good hooks on their new ones. So what I do is I'll use them until they get dull, and I'll pop them off. If I can't sharpen them, I'll pop them off and put new ones on. I'm not really one to, and I don't do a lot of serious cranking anyway, but I'm still not one to change hooks out immediately. I think that's a waste. But just learn how to set the hook and fight them, and you'll be all right. So let's see. Christian Parker, hi, I'm from Georgia. You're going to be at the NOE Outdoors Expo. I will not. I'll be down in Florida. I wanted to go. It was on my calendar. And then I realized that that's when practice starts down in Florida. So I'm definitely going to be down in Florida. I'm just glad he didn't have another one in September because that was a horrible date. Let's see. Josh Welch. What's up, Fluke? Question for you. I know you're a croc man while yak fishing. What do you wear during the winter months? I still will wear crocs on those 50-degree days when there's sun. But I wear NRS boundary boots with a pair of socks. I buy them one size large, so I'm a 9, and I buy a 10. So I can put wool socks on if I need to. But my feet stay warm and dry most of the time, even when I have them hanging off the side of the boat. And they're pretty tall boots. They come up to about 3 inches below my knee, and they're great. They're really good, and they're neoprene. So it's called the Boundary Boot from NRS. See, I'm reading comments. Some of them are really long, and then they're not. I find out they're not questions. Let's see. Catching with Clint says, if you have 5 7-foot combos with different gear ratio reels, what would you use each rod for, and what line would you put on them? So I just put new line on 14 new rods and reels for Florida. And Florida's a different animal. You got all that grass and stuff like that. But if for a standard set of rods, 5, let's see. First one's going to be a spinning rod, a medium spinning rod. I can do so much with that. If I have to drop shot, I can drop shot with it. But typically, I would throw a shaky head on it, or a wacky rig Cinco, or a whole bunch of other, you know, less than a quarter of an ounce jig heads and stuff like that. So a lot of stuff can go on a medium spinning rod, especially with finesse. And I'd have 20-pound braided mainline. I use that Hi-Vis Seaguar it's green. It's bright, bright green. It's great stuff. And then some type of a fluorocarbon leader. I love 8-pound test. I'll go to 10 like I am down in Florida. I've got 10 on mine because I'm going to be fighting them in grass and stuff like that. Still run the chance of breaking off, but 10 will work halfway decent. Then the next one's going to be a medium bait caster, medium fast. And the reason I say medium fast, because then you can do your quarter ounce shaky heads, your light jigs, your spooks, your flukes, spinner baits, all kinds of moving baits on that one without having to have a moderate, medium, heavy, moderate. Okay. And so, and then my next one's going to be a medium heavy for Texas rigs, jigs with light hooks, Carolina rigs, big spinner baits, big crank baits. But I typically aren't going to throw those till the summertime anyway. That kind of stuff, Texas rigs. And then the next one's going to be a medium, heavy, moderate for chatterbait. 13 Fishing makes a 7'4" chatter crank rod. They don't call it a chatter crank anymore, but if you look under on their casting rods, not the crankbait rods, but their casting rods, and look for a 7'4" moderate, medium, heavy, moderate, then that's the one. And it's a great chatterbait rod, and it's good for spinnerbaits and other things, square bills, that kind of stuff. But that's what I use for my chatterbaits. And then a heavy, 7'4" heavy with braided line. Now all the other ones are going to have fluorocarbon 15. The medium heavy is going to have 17 to 20 pound, some type of, I love a Brazex, but, anything like that. But anyway, then the heavy is going to have 50 to 65 pound smackdown. I can throw a frog. I can throw a heavy jig. I can punch and flip with into heavy cover, turn bass and get them out. So that's the five. But you know, and then versions of them, if I want to get any more than that. Florida is just a different animal. So I've got four heavies, or three heavies. I've got four medium heavies. I throw a chatterbait on a medium heavy jig rod because I'm ripping it out of the grass and doing a lot of aggressive stuff and that kind of stuff. So things change when there's so much vegetation. So, and I know I talked a lot and missed a whole lot of questions, but, oh, let's see. What is spawning this time of the year? Nothing. Everything's too cold down in Florida. Down in Southern Florida, they're spawning. And that spawn starts to move up, you know, as the water temperature gets warmer and warmer. But from Orlando south, you'll see spawning fish. Their big spawn isn't till February, typically in the middle part of the state. The big spawn down in Okeechobee can be January, February, but it's so spread out that it's not really a giant spawn. They don't all move up at the same time like they do in other states that warm up, you know, are below the water temperature gets really, really cold and then warms up. So it's just kind of a long drawn out process down in South Florida. But yeah, if you want spawning bass right now, down in Florida is about the only thing. And crappie are spawning down there too. So, goodness, this is Owen Ross asks. He says, favorite 2022 ICAST product, one you've tried or one you're excited to try. Honestly, okay, and it's kind of my fault, but I've been to 14 ICASTs and there's hardly anything that impresses me anymore just because it's all inventing the wheel. Okay. The only things that impress me now are electronics and propulsion. So, you know, when new trolling motor types come out and that kind of stuff, or new fish finders or, you know, new live scope stuff and that kind of stuff. Other than that, it's just all just baits and it's people trying to take one and make another one out of it and things like that. I, off the top of my head, I cannot remember anything that really, really impressed me this past year. And I need to start looking a little bit closer. And for me, ICAST is going to see some old friends and say hi and hang out and then, you know, talk to people and talk about the lures and that kind of stuff. You know, I'm there to be on video for Tackle Warehouse and all the other online tackle stores that have video, you know, video guys going around trying to see new products. But I am excited about 13's new price point reels, the ones that are $60 to $75, I think. I've got some that I've been using for about 5 months, and they should be out in March or April, sometime about that. But they're really good quality. And for the economy the way it is, you guys are going to love them because they really are stout reels. And then their new spinning reels that are coming out as well. 13 is, they've had good spinning reels, just not really, really good spinning reels. And these are really, really good spinning reels. So anyway, I wish I had them sitting in front of me and I'd show them to you, but anyway, let's see. All right. I'm going to skip way ahead cause I got way behind and I don't know if Chad's doing something in my chat. So I'm trying to, let's see. Hey, Gene, glad to see you live again. I thought I said you're alive again. What swim jig do you recommend for fishing in South Florida the first week of May? Any trailers that you would recommend? I fish a swim jig year round, and I don't think there's a certain swim jig that works, you know, better than others. I was not impressed, and I love Six Sense. I love a lot of their baits. Was not impressed with that new one that has the free swinging hook. I just didn't, I couldn't get it to run right. I still haven't played around. I mean, I've played around it with like wait, I played around with it for like 2 weeks, but I still think that there might be a spinner bait or a swim bait or a trailer out there that works really good with that thing. But I didn't like it. But I'm trying out the new ones from Missile Baits. They're the new mini ones. I've got one tied on to take down to Florida, and I'm kind of excited about just a smaller downsized swim jig. So the trailers that I use typically, I'll use a paddle tail trailer. Missile Baits has one that I use a lot of times. And then, of course, a Strike King Rage Swimmer, a Fluke, just about anything like that. Trying to think of anything else I might use. Those are about the main ones. And anything other than that, I'm just playing around with stuff. You know, like a crawfish trailer or stuff like that, I'll use those too. Have you completely moved on from Lose products? I never used Lose products. I've been with 13 for six years or 7 years now. So, no, Vaughn, I've never been. You may have me confused with somebody else. I've never been with Lose. Let's see. The Z-Man Hellraiser. That's another one I need to try. So, let's see. What color for swim baits and trailers? I usually use light colors, really, except down in Florida, I use something that looks more like a golden shiner or a bluegill. But typically anywhere north of Florida, out of that swampy water and that kind of stuff, I'm using white with some glitter. And typically that's about it. I'm using, white swim jigs. If I've got a green or a bluegill colored swim jig, I'm going to try to match the trailer. With jigs, with the regular like football jigs, I'll mix and match blue or green pumpkin. I'll put a blue jig with a green pumpkin trailer or something like that. But yeah, I keep it really simple. I really do. I was looking at my soft plastics, and I have 20 some odd year collection of soft plastics, and the colors are very simple. Green pumpkin, watermelon, black and blue, white. And that's it. Oh, and red shad or any kind of red color. But anyway, those are the colors of plastics I use. I really keep it simple. My jigs are either black and blue or they're brown or green. And I just keep it simple, really, because a lot of stuff, bass don't care. They don't count the number of hairs on a tick. You know, it's just one of those things. Have I tried Nico rigging flutes? John Owens asked. Yes, I have. It works really good. It really does. It's just hard. Sometimes it's hard to get the weight in there right, but you can do it. So, good evening, sir. Get you an electric boat and come fish in a John Boat Club. Wishing you safe travels this season. Merrick, I'll tell you a funny story. I used to build those boats back in the day before gas prices shot through the roof the first time. I was traveling from Augusta to my dad's shop in Covington, and I would buy old 82 to 88 trackers. And I'd gut them out and build them all electric and throw 280s on the back and 180 on the front and sell them and make $5,000 to $6,000 a piece. You've probably seen a couple of the ones that I've built if you're fishing the Georgia electric tournaments. Me and Ryan won a couple of them years ago in my old electric boat. And so I used to fish them, just not. I love kayak fishing and my kayaks. You know, I've taking what I learned from building electric boats and put it into building my electric kayak, which runs off of an XI3 up front. So, but yeah, it's, I want to do videos this year. I'm not really interested in fishing tournaments, but I love seeing how those things have grown. So, who donated $20? David Fields, my brother. How about it? He says, how about those dogs? I love you, bro. Tell your wife I said hi. I told her to give me a call. Next Tuesday, and we'll talk about me talking to her high school team. I feel so bad for forgetting about that. So, have you ever gotten into targeting yellow perch and walleye? Walleye, yes, up north. Got a yellow perch lake in Georgia. Must have grass in it. That's awesome. That is awesome. Any tricks to help getting Ned, keeping Ned rigs from getting snags so much? Michael, I use the weedless ones a lot, but I don't like that wire keeper. I feel like that when the bass, the way the bass bites a Ned rig, when you set the hook, that wire keeper will doesn't flex enough. And so it you know, you'll pull it up and it'll be all bent, and you know it's gotten all bent up in the fish's mouth, and you miss them a lot. I just run the risk of you know, snagging. And I get over top of them and shake it off if I need to. But, yeah, dude, that's the worst thing about it. The other thing is keep it moving. The way I keep it from getting snagged a lot is I do that what Ned, the guy who invented it, does the most is I lift and I let it pendulum down. And then when it hits the bottom, I lift again and I just keep reeling up the slack. And it's kind of a hop and a glide down. So it's not a hop and let it sit. The longer you let it sit, the better chance you have of getting it snagged. But it still is going to get snagged up. Do I ever throw big glide baits? The only glide baits I throw are the bull glides. Caught a bunch of fish on them this year, but I haven't really gotten too much into the big swim baits like I should. But let's see. And that's funny. One of my really good friends from way back in the day, he runs Swim Bait Universe. So that's kind of, oh, goodness. Let's see. I know you're a kayak fisherman, but do you follow any of the MLF? Yes, I do. I've been watching a lot of it the last few days, mainly the ones down in Florida, getting ready for my trip down there. But yeah, Ryan Saltzman's a really good friend of mine. I was on his podcast a week before last. I'll be fishing with him a few times this year, and I do every year. So, but yeah, I do follow Major League Fishing quite a bit. So, let's see. Jennifer Ellis says, "When are you and Edwin getting together again?" I haven't talked to him about it, but I know we have an open invite. So, my goal is to get him with a day off when he's down in this area and take him over to my lake down here. And show them what some giant southern bass look like. So, but yeah, I had so much fun with him. He's such a good dude. What kayak camera mount do you recommend? I use the Yak Attack, the Panfish Pro, and then their Boomstick are the two that I use. I use the Panfish Pro up in front of me. It's kind of tall, but it gets up above my fish finder. And then it also keeps from getting that proverbial kayak crotch shot that you see in everybody's videos because their cameras are mounted too low. And so it gets in the way a little bit. You just got to get used to casting around it. That's a good question. Am I coming to Lake St. Clair anytime soon? I don't have any plans to do much traveling right now, but my schedule's been wide open. I just kind of been taking it one step at a time. My goal, like I said, my goal this year is to knock out a bunch of videos. I'll go ahead, guys. I'll tell you my main videos are going to be those monthly bait videos. Like I did in October, I'm going to do, monthly bait videos where I pick 4, 5, or 6 baits, put them on a video. And then the next 4, 5, or 6 videos that I launch are going to be how to fish those baits. Now I'm not going to launch one for May on May the 2nd. I'm going to launch one for May on April, middle of April. So by the time May kicks around, you've already watched all those videos and all those baits. You've seen videos on how to fish them. And so you're ready to get rocking and rolling. So, and then those of you guys who live up north, and I'm going to try to mention this in every video, the ones that live up north, you're going to have to go back and watch the month before, because you're going to be a month behind whatever I'm doing down here in the south. So, I'm still here. My camera just crapped out. So give me just a second. For some reason, it said that my temp was too high. But we'll keep talking while I work on this. But St. Clair's a good lake. It really is. I don't know why this camera's been giving me fits. But it has. There we go. All right. So we're going to hit pause for just a minute. I'm going to go to camera. All right, get that up and going. Sorry, I had to unplug my camera. I don't leave me. Please don't leave me. All right, got it fixed. For some reason it said it had overheated. I don't know why it would overheat, but that's what it said anyway. So ATL Clutch, thanks for the $5. It says, when do you switch between a bulky jig like a mop jig versus a casting jig like a Beast Coast Lil Magnum? Also, Jackson fished good last weekend. Oh, he did. That's good. I fish. I'm different because of some experiences that I've had. A lot of people say in the wintertime you downsize on your jigs. I fish a mop jig. I downsize my trailer. My chunk trailer goes from a big chunk one with a lot of kicking to a Zoom baby chunk is what it is. And so that's typically what I'm doing is I'm looking for, or I'm trying to give them something that moves really slow, because with those big mop jigs or those big jigs with living rubber skirts, when it lands on the bottom and you sit it still, that skirt opens up super slow. And then any kind of current causes it to do this, which is what you want in the wintertime, a lot of slow movement. But then once it opens up, the only target is that chunk trailer. And so a super chunk junior is what I'm going to put on it most of the time. And then I'll switch to something like I'll put a silicone skirt on it and then put as the temperature's starting to warm up, I wanted to have a bigger profile. So I'll slide a silicone skirt on there and put like a Rage Bug or even a Rage Craw, make them really big in the summertime. So that's usually what I do. I don't, like I said, I keep my jig stuff very simple. Now I've been using the Picasso tungsten jigs lately, and they're kind of small. So I'll tie living rubber on them and make them bigger and do the same thing, but their hooks are really small. So I have to be real careful with the hook set, and I got to be real careful with not oversizing the skirt or making the skirt too bulky, because you will miss fish on it. But, let's see. Oops, I almost put you in timeout, Tom, because I hit the wrong button. It said, going out for winter bass tomorrow in Georgia, what 3 baits would you recommend? This time of the year, I'm fishing blade baits, tail spins like a Little John or something like that, tail spins, and then a jig-headed fluke. And I'm looking deep. So if your lake has shallow cover like wooden rocks, don't pass it up. But I'm looking pretty deep this time of the year, especially with the weather the way it's been. Man, it got cold today. I was out building a box for my XI3s. I have one, and then I have my backup from last year that I travel with. And I built a box to be able to stow them and travel with them in the back of my truck without them getting banged up and beat up so much. So, all right. Let's see. Hey, Gene, did you get a chance to try the new Spro KGB Shad glide during ICAST? I did not. He says, I highly recommend trying it. I'll give it a try. But I didn't try it. So, but I was sponsored by Gamagatsu and Spro for until, I don't know, earlier this or middle of last year. Or no, it was in the fall. It was in the fall when they decided I wasn't going to work for them. And it was mainly because I was pretty upset that I never knew what was going on. I never knew what new baits were coming out. So I never got the heads up and be able to create content that was new and fresh. I always found out about their baits when they came on the market and my buddies started buying them. And so I was just like, you know, their marketing agency, which is separate from Spro and Gamagatsu, was not communicating with me at all. And so, and they had promised when I signed on that they would, you know, and I hate to be diva about it, but they promised that they would send me a box of all the new stuff so I could start creating content early and have it all ready for ICAST. And that never happened. So I was just like, you know, if they don't want to work with me, I don't want to work with them. So I'm real easy to work with too. And I love that kind of stuff. That's my, that I'll just, that's one of the things I really love. And that's why 13 loves me too, is because I love new stuff. I love telling you guys about it. Josh Rosa, thanks, man. I appreciate it. I'm trying to find a question here. Let's see. Central Florida is supposed to be 30 degrees tomorrow. Grassy lake. What and where are you throwing? Gosh, when on a cold front like that, I'm really going to slow down, especially for those Florida bass. I'm going to look around. They typically will move into the thickest cover there is, and underneath like hyacinth mats and things like that. Because hyacinth, even when it's cold, the sun shining on a hyacinth mat will heat up and the fish will get right up underneath it. So I'm going to be punching thick cover. And I'm also going to be throwing a wacky rig Cinco around points and stuff like that. Dadgummit, my dang camera. All right, I got to figure this out. Why is it overheating? I must have something on that I'm not supposed to have on. So let me Calvin Johnson, thanks for the 10 bucks, man. He says, ship it in for a new camera. That's funny because this camera is $1,000. It's not cheap. Of course, I didn't buy it this year, but it is not cheap at all. And I don't know why it's overheating. Let me change the display on it. See if that works. See, it should not overheat. It's one I've been using for a long time, so it shouldn't overheat. But, so 13 has a budget-friendly combo. Can you tell us more about that? I will when I learn more about it. And it's not on their website. Actually, it is on their website. Hold on, I'll pull up their website. Give me a second. I will. I'll tell you about them. I'm horrible with names, which is kind of crazy, but spring releases. So spring of this year, the spinning reels, and let me pull it up so you guys can see what I'm looking at. The spinning reels, the Axiom. This one is sweet. I really like the Axiom. The Eros is a little bit less expensive. And I want to say there's, don't quote me, but I think they're like 70, 80 bucks, maybe $100, but they're not, I don't think they're more than $100. That's their new saltwater one, the big giant one, the AL13. I don't know anything about that. The Source F and the Source R. This one, the R I have not tried. These were both at ICAST. And these are all budget friendly. Then we got the new Gerald Swindle combos, the Inception G, which is the reel. And then the rod is, oh, I can't remember the name of the rod. I'll tell you in a second. And then the Inception slide, which I do have. I love this thing. It's got that little slide trigger that helps you to do micro adjustments on the braking system on the fly, which I love. And then the Modus reels. These are the some of the price point reels. The Modus, I don't know, can't remember what the TX is going for. 109 is what this, and that's a saltwater reel. And then the Modus C2, which is 119. Let's see what Gerald Swindle's is. I want to say his is 120 or something like 150 is his. And then he's got the rods that are coming out with him too. So they're all pretty inexpensive. The meta is the Gerald Swindle rod. And those are going to be 100 and something. Can't remember, 150. And then you got Muskie and the gold. And then here's the baby, the kids combo, and stuff like that. So they got a lot of stuff coming out. That's the Codex combo, which is another spinning combo that they've got. It's $100, $110. And the F1, that's the new power slide. I've already caught giants on that one. So that's kind of the cool stuff that's coming out. I'm glad you asked. I kind of hate doing that much promotion and that much talking about it, but that's kind of what it is. Goodness, Clay Robinson, have you ever tried the old Snagless Sally fishing Florida grass? I have not. I'm going to write that down. It's been a good old top secret bait in February through April here in North Florida. The Snagless Sally. Caps lock on. Oh, cool. I've tried something similar, but that's more like it looks like a musky bait. Huh. May have to try that out. All right, Josh Gayton, good question. He says, I hear Chad doesn't honor prizes, which I've never heard. Takes months to pay, lies to sell venues, and scams money. So you've been listening to the guys over at can't remember the name of that Facebook page. Anyway, there was a Facebook page created by some guys who didn't like Chad. Chad caught one of them cheating. And then caught one that might've been cheating, and they went over and they created a Facebook page that has now become very popular. And they tell stories about Chad. There have been times where he has taken a while to pay people. I don't know about the venues things, and I know he doesn't scam anybody in money. But he does honor prizes. He does everything he's supposed to do. He may not do it as fast as people think he should. But yeah, dude, there's a lot of bad rumors going on around about him that, and I'm one of his best friends, but I'm also somebody who doesn't like dishonesty. And so when he does tell a story or something like that, I'm going to be the first one to go at him about it. There's some guys out there that are trying to destroy him and his company because they got their feelings hurt. They're trying to cancel him, and they're just falling in love with that cancel culture. And so you just kind of got to take it with a grain of salt. You know, one of them was a friend of mine. I thought he was, you know, straight up dude. I never tried to mix our friendship up. And I know I just lost my camera again, but I never talked to him about Chad or Chad about him or anything else. And I found out the hard way that he was nothing but a two-faced liar. And so I don't have anything to do with him anymore. You know, he had the opportunity to tell me the truth and he didn't, and he did it out of spite is what he did. And it was ridiculous. But anyway, and I got two rules in my life: don't steal from me and don't lie to me, and we're good, you know? And so, yeah, I tend to not take that very well. Matter of fact, Damon was sitting right next to me when I realized it, and he thought, oh, he was about to have to hold me down. Let's see. Gene, can I use a Pelican Bass Raider 10E for a kayak tournament? No. It has to be a kayak. There's a list of them on KBF, but I know you can't use a Bass Raider. I wish you could, man. I love fishing out of those things. Let's see. I'm gonna cut this one a little bit short just because my camera keeps messing up with me, and I don't know how. I'd have to stop the feed to be able to figure out what's going on. So. But don't put a jerkbait on an A-rig. I don't know where that came from. Appling's Heart. Hey, what's up, buddy? When are you going to make some of that barbecue sauce so I can get some? God bless him. And be safe. Keep fishing. I need to make some. My wife gets upset because I make it by the gallon. And then I have to have somewhere to put it and just, you know, fills up the refrigerator. But yeah, I need to make some. It's been a long time. So, know any good kids kayaks for bass fishing? I know that Jackson makes a kids kayak. I used to have a couple of them. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what Bass Pro or anybody else carries in that size. You know, the history of Jackson was Eric Jackson started making kayaks for his children because nobody was making them. And that's how Jackson started making Jackson kayaks. And so I know they have a kid's kayak. So, hey, Gene, I was at my local tackle shop a while back and their supplier was making a delivery of lures. He was telling us that Zoom may be going out of business. Have you heard anything about that? No, I've heard just the contrary. What was going on a while ago was Zoom was reducing their number of SKUs. So they were getting rid of baits and colors that weren't selling very well to be able to keep up with demand because they were having trouble getting employees as well and keeping employees. People were just quitting. And so in order to be able to keep up with production, they reduced the number of baits that they have to make. So, all right, guys, I'm going to let you go. My camera keeps overheating. I'm sorry. I'm going to figure out the problem. I probably have something running on it that's not supposed to be running. But like I would say, be sure to introduce somebody to fishing. Introduce them to my channel. Let me help you teach them how to fish. More importantly, get out on the water, go ahead and catch some fish, and have a great day. We'll see you.